Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So today we are starting a short, yet I believe very important series called Breaking Bread, where what we're going to be doing is exploring how Jesus took something as simple as sharing a meal with others and actually used that as one of the main ways that he went about transforming the world forever. Luke 5, 27 through 32 begins. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Now, what Jesus is actually doing here by calling a tax collector to be one of his disciples, this is something that would have not only been seen as scandalous by everyone who got to witness this event, but it's even the case that what Jesus is doing here could have been seen as an act of high treason. Or Jesus turning his back on his own people. And all because in that time and place, tax collectors were Jewish people who decided not to fight against Rome, who was oppressing them at this time, but instead to join Rome by collecting taxes from their own people. Or these were the men who made a great living making sure that Rome was able to get as much wealth as possible out of their people, making life for the Jewish people at this time about as hard as it gets. Or maybe to help you get how crazy Jesus calling a tax collector really is, you need to know that being a tax collector was similar to a certain extent to Jewish people in the midst of the Holocaust choosing to work for the Germans. Yeah, to a certain yet lesser extent, this is comparable to what these Jewish men were doing to their own people and in turn how everyone else felt about these dirtbag tax collectors because of what they were doing. And yet, what this insane story tells us is that when Jesus walks by this dirtbag, this tax collector, he doesn't start by pointing fingers and condemning this man for the horrible sins that he has committed against his own people, of which he is guilty. He is a tax collector. And what Jesus does, even though he knows how scandalous this is he invites this traitor, to become one of his disciples. Think about that for a moment. I know we've read this story 1,000 times, but this is a huge deal. This is scandalous. And then, of course, as soon as Levi gets this invitation, right, immediately he chooses to leave his former life behind and to follow Jesus, which, by the way, is a huge deal. And so to celebrate this big deal, Levi throws a banquet in Jesus' honor and invites all of his closest dirtbag friends to join them. Or it says, Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. And what you all need to understand about this banquet is that Levi is not just inviting some of his friends over to meet and hang out with his new buddy Jesus. No, what Levi is doing here is putting on a formal dinner party in honor of Jesus. And to make sure that this event went well, I am sure that Levi pulled out all the stops to make this an evening that Jesus would never forget, because that's how these events are supposed to work. Or maybe think about going to a wedding reception and all that entails, the extravagance, the expense, and all that kind of stuff. And that's how you get a sense of how big this particular dinner party was. Or first of all, Levi would have served them a feast for it's a couple of course meal feast for these people to eat. And then after they were done with the meal, that's when the entertainment would begin, which probably consisted of bringing in musicians or singers or some kind of performers to entertain everybody. And what happened during this part of the banquet is participants would simply sit around for hours and hours drinking and having great conversation while being entertained. I mean, this really was a good time. And yet, the most interesting thing about what Jesus is doing here is he is actually breaking the established rules of that time by daring to eat with people who are considered to be less than he is. Or what you need to know about ancient table etiquette is that who you chose to eat with in that time and place, in a sense, defined who you were and where you fit in the world. Think about that. Who you ate with defines who you are and where you are in the world. For example, if you were a wealthy and powerful citizen of that day, the people you would invite to events like this were other wealthy and powerful people who were considered to be a part of your station in life. And given that same logic, if someone beneath you invited you to one of these events, you would have never even considered it because of what that would do to your reputation in the pecking order, what that would do to your life, which means, according to the rules, Jesus should have never accepted this invitation because these people are below him. Or maybe to get at this logic in a more modern way, just think back to how your high school lunchrooms really worked. Or think about all those unspoken rules and regulations that were at work, causing your classmates to basically stay in their lanes. Everybody set with their group. You didn't dare go beyond your group. And to think of that, you get a sense of what's going on here, except to kind of a much, much bigger degree. Which means what Jesus is doing by eating with these tax collectors and sinners is he has purposely thrown all these rules and regulations out the door when it comes to who he's supposed to eat with. Or as a holy and religious figure who's only supposed to eat with other holy and religious people, Jesus has intentionally chosen to eat with the unholy and traitorous people, proclaiming that these dirtbags, these people, they are my people. Or even more than that, these people are my equals, and I'm going to treat them as such by sitting down to eat with them. And of course, what happens when Jesus does that is the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they don't like that too much, right? They show up to start asking some questions like, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Don't you know what you're doing by eating with these people? Don't you know how this makes you look? And of course, their response is going to be to question him. Of course, they're going to be upset and choose to kind of fight against Jesus here. They're the rule keepers. That's what they do. And yet, what Jesus was doing through this simple act of breaking bread, this simple act of sharing a meal with others, is he is intentionally choosing these actions, even though we know it's going to cause him problems, as one of the main ways he's going about transforming the world, where he is proclaiming that God is not just on the side of the wealthy, blessed, and faithful. And that's what the Roman and Jewish people thought at this time. No, this God is also on the side of the poor, cursed, and even sinful. Or even when it comes to those people who have chosen a life of corruption, a life of sin, God even cares about and welcomes them. Or that our God is willing and able to stoop down to meet them where they are, just as they are, so we can invite them into a new kind of life. Or as Jesus goes on to explain, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Which ultimately means that with this simple act of choosing to eat with others, Jesus is proclaiming to the world. And this is the part you really need to get, because this is the scandalous part. Everyone is welcome at my table. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter what everyone else thinks of you, everyone, and I mean everyone, is welcome at the table of our Lord. Think about that. That's a huge, uncomfortable deal when you think about all the dirtbags out there in the world doing some dirtbaggy things that you might not want to hear. Everyone is welcome at this table if Jesus is willing to eat with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes and all of the scum of that day. Don't you think Jesus would dare to eat with those people today as well? I mean, it's absolutely amazing what he's doing here. And so with all that being said, what I hope you're starting to see is how Jesus took something as simple as breaking bread, having a meal with others, and he's used that to not only transform the lives of those sinful people who showed up at Levi's house that night. I'm sure that was an amazing party. But he also used all of that to teach us that our God is about accepting and loving people just as they are. But at the same time, giving us a kind of vision regarding how we're being called to live our lives as a people who claim to follow Jesus in the here and now. And that, as Jesus makes clear, our job as Christians is not to be those judgmental, holier-than-thou people who spend our time calling out and condemning those people who are sinners. That's what the Pharisees do, right? We don't want to be Pharisees. But instead is to become more like Jesus, realizing that what's most important, what really matters, is we give even those who don't deserve it a chance at not only being welcomed and loved by our God just as they are, but they need a chance to be transformed as well. Because that's how you find what we have found. Or maybe to give you a picture of this, kind of lived out today. In a small Midwestern town, kind of like Great Bend, there was a pastor named Sarah who caused quite a bit of commotion for where she spent her Friday nights. You see, this pastor, every week, like clockwork, she showed up at the brewery, the town's most infamous bar. And not just to grab a bite to eat. She just wasn't grabbing something to eat in this small town. No, she was there to hang out and have a good time with whoever happened to show up. She played pool with many of the construction workers. She listened to the bikers talk about their troubles and even learned the names of every bartender and regular in that place. And so, of course, when many of her church members caught wind of this, they were outraged. Even called a special board meeting to talk about firing her for such behavior, because that's not what pastors are supposed to do. You stay in your place. Don't go over there doing that kind of stuff. And yet, when the board confronted her about this behavior, Pastor Sarah just smiled. And she said, "Do you really think that if Jesus were in town, if Jesus were here right now, that he'd be spending most of his time sitting in the church office hanging out with the righteous? Or do you think he would be where people are actually searching for and are in need of grace?" So then one night a bit later on, as she's back at the bar, the board says, "All right, well, we'll try it." She happens to sit next to a man named Danny at the bar. He had tattoos, rough hands, alcohol on his breath. And yet because she had this open spirit, because she was willing to talk and converse with anyone, this man finally went about telling her how he hadn't stepped into a church in over 20 years. Not since his addiction led to his divorce and his family disowning him. He's walked away and has no hope of ever returning again. But when Pastor Sarah heard this, she didn't lecture, she didn't judge, and he had plenty of things that he could have been lectured on and judged about. She listened, she laughed, she loved. And eventually he even allowed her to pray for him. But astoundingly, what happened that week, that next Sunday, because of the mercy and love and openness that this pastor showed to this man, Danny walked into church that next Sunday morning for the first time in 20 years because he was willing to give Jesus a chance. He found hope in being able to share what he has been through. And then what happened is nobody in the church dared to judge her anymore, because then they caught on to what it is she's been doing this whole entire time. You see, Sarah, like Jesus, she was about building bridges, not more walls. She was about building bridges, not more walls. Because the truth is, whether you like it or not, or are comfortable with it or not, most churches, and a whole lot of Christians for that matter, don't have the time to build bridges these days because they're so busy building walls to keep everyone else out. The result being that there are a whole lot of people who are not getting a chance to encounter Jesus just as they are because they can't hear the grace. Through all the judgment and condemnation, Christians are so good at pointing out in others, but not seeing in themselves. Or to really help you get your brain around this, you've got to understand that Jesus has not called any of us to be judges. We're not qualified. We are not called to be judges. No, instead, what Luke is showing us here is Jesus has called us to be doctors, spiritual doctors. And all because what doctors do when they see something wrong is, unlike judges who condemn and judge when they encounter a problem, doctors look at the exact same problem and they ask, "How can I help? Or how can I enter into this situation and do something to bring healing and life?" Well, that, my friends, I believe is exactly the kind of people that Jesus is calling us to be. And yet not just when it comes to who we eat with, although I think that's important. I think we need to eat outside of our particular groups. We're really good at staying in our groups. No, we are all called to live as spiritual doctors in every part of our lives, offering grace and mercy, not condemnation and judgment, to everyone we encounter, because that's how we build bridges, not erect more walls. You guys starting to see this here? Starting to get this here? Well, now that you're starting to get it, I'm going to leave you with a very, very simple yet very, very important question that you need to wrestle with this week. Are you a judge or are you a doctor? Think about it. Are you a judge? Spend your time judging people, condemning people because somehow you're better, which, let's be honest, we're all pretty good at. Or are you a spiritual doctor? Someone who sees a problem and rushes into help because that's what you're called to do. Which one are you? Well, if many of us, like many of us, if you are a judge, then it's time for you, it's time for me to start to get really serious about taking that love and mercy that Jesus has given to us. Which, by the way, let me remind you about that grace and mercy that you have in your salvation. You didn't have anything to do with it. You didn't earn any of that. We are all in the same boat. We got this thing because of God's love and grace and this gift he has given us. So instead of acting like we've got it all figured out and we belong here instead of we're given this gift, what if we chose to offer grace and mercy to everyone we encounter? Or more than that, what if we became the church that wasn't known for our hypocrisy and our judgment? Because when you look across the board at what people are saying about churches today, that's what you're going to find. What if they knew that no matter who they are or what they've done, they can walk in here and be loved and accepted just as they are? Come on now. What kind of church would that be? Well, it would be very, very messy because there's going to be some weirdos that come in here. Right? There's going to be some big old sinners that walk into this place as well, and it's going to get messy. But guess what? We're in the business of messy. God's in the business of messy, of taking these sinful and broken people and helping them become all that they can be. So again, may you not only choose not to be a judge any longer, but a doctor. And may you do that because that makes us a congregation that is all about love. That's what changes the world. That's what Jesus is trying to do at the table. And that's what we're going to learn more about next week. Let us pray. Father, again, we come to you this morning very grateful for this sermon series and what it has to teach us about how you took something as simple as sharing a meal with others and used that as the place where you began your kingdom work. And use that as a place where you began to proclaim your gospel and to show us what it looks like to follow you. So now that we have seen and learned that, Lord, help us to choose not to be judges, to be doctors, to be the kind of people and the kind of church that are willing and able to accept and love everybody just as they are, so that we, O Lord, can bring them to you and you can transform them forever. Lord, it's in your name and for our sake that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.